Welcome back. This one is for the people who want a jungle master that actually feels like jungle, not a generic, shiny EDM polished job. We're talking glue edits, chopped breaks that sampled, slightly chewed vinyl print character while still landing loud enough to compete, and not turning your cymbals into constant white noise. Open Ableton Live 12 and think of this whole lesson as controlled chaos. The break is the lead instrument, the sub has to translate, and the master has to feel like a record, not a screenshot of a waveform. Here's what we're building: a repeatable master chain that's mostly stock devices, plus a parallel vinyl return that gives you the character without wrecking your main signal. Before we touch any processing, do the boring thing that makes that exciting thing possible: gain staging and referencing. On your master, put utility first. Set the gain to -6 dB. This is temporary. You're not making it quieter forever. You're just giving your chain room so you're not accidentally clipping plugins and congratulating yourself for distortion you didn't choose. Now add a reference track. Pick something genuinely close. Similar tempo, similar density of breaks, similar low-end philosophy. Route it safely and level match it. Put a utility on the reference, and get the perceived loudness in the same ballpark as your mix before you judge tone. If you don't do this, you'll prefer whatever is louder and you'll chase brightness and loudness until everything is brittle. Quick 30-second mix check. If your break is already clipped into a pancake, or your sub is doing random 30 to 60 HC spike jumps, mastering isn't going to save it. Mastering is presentation and control, not resuscitation. Alright, chain time. First device after utility is EQ8. This is vinylish cleanup, but the goal is not sterilizing. Jungle is supposed to have a little paper and dust in the top. So we clean the useless stuff, and we gently shape the pain. Start with a high pass around 20 to 25 HC. 12 dB per octave is fine. You're shaving rumble, not thinning the record. If the low end is tubby, do a small low shelf cut, like half a dB to maybe 1.5 dB around 80 to 120 HC. Keep it subtle. In this music, if you start doing big moves on the master, it's usually a sign you need to go back to the mix. Now listen to the cymbals and the resampled break top. If it's tearing your face off, try a gentle dip, 1 to 3 dB somewhere around 7 to 10 kHz, with a medium Q. And here's the key, don't automatically fix it until it's polite. Jungle breaks often live in that aggressive 6 to 12k area. If you remove too much, you don't just remove harshness, you remove excitement and that sampled texture. If you cut too much and it gets dull, you can add a tiny air shelf, half a dB to 1 dB around 12 to 16k. Tiny, we're not doing pop air. We are restoring life. Next, the core. Glue compressor. This is where people mess it up. We're compressing for movement and cohesion, not punishment. Set the ratio to 2 to 1. Attack at 3 milliseconds as a starting point. That tends to keep snare crack alive while still grabbing the body. If your edit is super spiky and inconsistent, you can try 1 millisecond, but be careful. Too fast and you start shaving the front edge that makes jungle feel like jungle. Release. Try auto first. Auto often works well on rolling material because it breathes in a musical way. If auto feels weird, try a manual release somewhere in the 0.1 to 0.3 second range. Now bring down the threshold until you're seeing about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks, maybe touching 3 dB on the loudest fills. Keep makeup off for now. We'll level match later. And turn on soft clip in the glue compressor. This is one of those jungle cheat codes. It can round peaks in a way that preserves punch better than smashing into a limiter later. Listening cues. The kick and snare should feel like they're on the same record. Ghost notes should still breathe. If the hats start doing that shhhhhh smear or you feel obvious pumping, your release is likely too slow, or you're hitting the threshold too hard. Now an extra coach move. Don't just stare at the gain reduction meter. In fast breaks, even 1 or 2 dB can be too much if the timing is wrong. Put spectrum after the glue and toggle the glue on and off. Watch and listen around 2 to 6 kHz. If that zone fills in and turns into a constant slab, you're smearing the articulation of the snare and ghost notes. First tweak the release, then the attack. The goal is impact, not sandpaper. After glue, add saturator. This is where we get chopped vinyl density, harmonics and a mild, controlled clip. Vinyl character is not just noise. It's density and a little rounding, like the audio has been printed. Set saturator to analog clip. Drive. Start around +2 to +4 dB. You can go up to +6 if the mix can take it, but start low. Turn soft clip on. Turn color on. Set the bass around 200 to 400 Hz. That bass setting changes where the harmonics feel thick, and for jungle it often helps the break body and mid presence without you doing a weird EQ boost. Now the most important habit, level match. Pull the saturator output down so that, when you bypass saturator, the loudness feels basically the same. If it only sounds better when it's louder, you're not choosing character, you're choosing volume. Optional device, drum bus, but microscopic. This is not make it slam time. This is knit the break like it went through a box time. If you use it, keep drive low, like 2 to 8%. Crunch, 0 to 5%. Tiny. If the top gets fizzy, add a little damp, maybe 5 to 15%. Keep boom off on the master. Boom can destabilize your subs fast and you'll end up fighting it with multiband and limiting later. Transient. If your edit lost snap after glue and saturation, you can add a touch, like plus 5 to plus 15. If your mix is already pokey, go negative instead. Rule of thumb. If drum bus makes you say whoa on the master, it's probably too much. Mastering should feel like of course it sounds like that, not look what I did. Next up, multiband dynamics. And we're not doing that EDM thing where everything gets squashed into a flat rectangle. This is for control and stability. Keep the sub consistent, stop low mids from stacking up, and prevent the high break fizz from dominating. Set your band something like this. Low band 20 to 120 Hz, mid 120 Hz to 5k Hz, high 5k Hz to 20k Hz. On the low band, do gentle compression. Ratio around 1.5 to 2 to 1. Slower attack, medium release. You're aiming for about 1 to 2 dB of reduction when the sub surges, not constant clamping. This keeps the bass boring in a good way, so the break can be wild on top. Mid-band, keep it mostly open. Either no gain reduction or barely any. The mid-band is where the groove lives, and over-controlling it is how you kill the roll. High-band, tame peaks. Slightly faster attack and release than the low-band. Again, 1 to 2 dB on sharp hat spikes. The goal is spike management, not darkening. Advanced trick, automate subtly. Breakdowns can be more open. Drops need more discipline. You can automate the multiband amount slightly down in breakdowns so they breathe, and slightly up in the densest drop so the hats don't dominate. Now, the limiter. Talk Ableton limiter is fine. Put it last in the main chain. Set the ceiling to minus 1 dB. Safer for streaming and a lot of club playback chains. Now pull the threshold down until you hit your loudness goal, but listen for the warning signs. In jungle, if you slam the limiter, the cymbals smear, the break turns into a constant hiss, and the snare loses its shape. You want loud, clean, and still like impacts. And a big concept here, the limiter becomes your transient designer whether you want it to or not. If the limiter is working too hard, don't just keep pushing and hoping. Instead, let your earlier soft clipping do some peak shaping. That's why we used soft clip on glue and saturator. You're feeding the limiter a more controlled peak shape so it doesn't have to do violent surgery. After limiting, level match against the reference again. If your mastered track is louder than the reference, turn it down temporarily so you can judge tone and punch fairly. Loudness is the easiest way to trick yourself. Now the secret sauce. Parallel vinyl character. We are not going to destroy the master path with noise and bit crush. We are going to layer a texture that feels like resampling, while the core stays solid. Create a return track, name it Return A, vinyl. On that return, first add auto filter. Set it to low pass. Cut off around 10 to 14 kHz to tame fizz. If you want a bit of bite, you can add a tiny bit of filter drive, but keep it controlled. Next, add redux, but tiny. This is not an audible bit crush moment. Keep bit reduction basically off, like 0 to 1. Play with a small downsample shift so it becomes alias shimmer, not grit. Then remember, you're filtering around it, so that shimmer becomes a controlled sheen instead of a harsh spray. After redux, add saturator on the return. Analog clip, soft clip on. Drive can be higher here, like plus 4 to plus 10 dB, because it's parallel. You're making a texture layer. Now EQ 8 on the return. High pass it at 150 to 250 Hz to keep it out of your sub. And kick weight. If your bass still feels facey when you add the return, don't be afraid to high pass higher, even 250 to 400 Hz. We only want this layer decorating the break and upper body, not messing with the foundation. If you want needle bite without boosting harsh highs, do a small presence bump around 2.5 to 3.5 kHz. Small. And if it spits, do a gentle cut around 7 to 10 kHz. That's how you get snare talk without turning the top into pain. Finally, add utility on the return. Set width to maybe 120 to 160%, but only on the return. This is how you can get that wider room impression, while keeping the core low and centered and stable. Use the utility gain to control the blend. Now send your full mix to this vinyl return very lightly. Start around -24 dB on the send. Bring it up until you feel the texture when you mute and unmute the return, not until you obviously hear an effect. If you can point at it immediately, it's probably too loud. The best parallel texture is the one you miss when it's gone. One more Live 12 workflow thought. Know whether your send behavior is pre or post fader. Post fader is usually easier for predictable mastering moves because your blend stays consistent when you ride levels. Pre fader can be cooler if you want character that follows dynamics more like a resample chain. Pick intentionally. Now do the translation checks that actually matter for drum and bass. First, mono. Add a utility at the very end of the chain temporarily, or just use one you already have and hit mono. If the bass steps back in mono, you've created stereo side energy somewhere, often from the vinyl return harmonics living too low. Reduce width on the return, or high pass the return higher.